This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Friday, December 17th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America. It is an absolute privilege to be with you once again. On Fridays, we remember the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friday is also the traditional day dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Today is also day two of the traditional Christmas novena, which ends on Christmas Eve. This includes a nine-day novena to the Holy Infant of Prague. Today, December 17th, is also the first day of the traditional Advent O Antiphons. I want to share with you today's antiphon. O wisdom of our God Most High, guiding creation with power and love, come to teach us the path of knowledge. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are some of the big headlines this morning?
Well, the gift that keeps giving, right? Coronavirus still with us this holiday season as well. Omicron, the latest variant that, again, proving to be very contagious, although said not to be as serious with the effects, although not unserious. But a stern warning from President Biden, who warned Thursday, saying for the unvaccinated, we're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for the unvaccinated, for themselves, their families, and for hospitals. They'll soon overwhelm. So the president, again, pushing hard for vaccines and booster shots for all.
Absolutely concerning the words of the president. On the other hand, we must continue to be vigilant, follow the recommendations of our doctors, and do whatever we can, because this is such a special time to get together with our family. So we want to take all the precautions and make sure that this Omicron variant does not impede our Christmas celebrations.
Yes, yes, indeed. Just to be safe and smart and not fight over it, right, with some family members who might not be on the same page, right? They love one another and be forgiving, maybe especially at this time of year. But there will be some celebration today, I'm sure. Don't know exactly what he's got going on, but Pope Francis turns 85 today, John.
Can you believe it? Happy birthday to the Holy Father. And I think that it's important that we continue to pray for the Holy Father, who's very humble about his birthday. He tries to put the focus on others, not just to focus on his 85th birthday.
Again, we don't know what he's up to today, but other years in 2016, he kicked off his 80th birthday by having breakfast with some homeless men and women in the dining room of his residence. In 2017, he had a pizza party for sick children. So he's the kind of guy you want to hang with on his birthday, I think, for things like that. And the way he looks at aging, he said a couple of years ago, there's only one thing that makes us age, to grow old interiorly, and not age, but sin is what does it. So
beautiful perspective by our Holy Father, and we continue to pray for him. Glenn, as always, thanks so much.
Sure thing, John.
We also continue to pray for all the victims and all the families that were devastated by the tornadoes this past weekend in Kentucky and in other states in the southern Midwest. I want to remind you that you can give online to help Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Owensboro, Kentucky, to help those impacted by this recent devastation. All you got to do is go to owensborodiocese.org/give, owensborodiocese.org/give, and select tornado relief for Catholic Charities. We begin every show, every hour in prayer, praying to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every single morning when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture this morning is from the playbook of life, is from Luke 1:43. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Are you ready to meet the baby Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, in a new, perhaps in a deeper, personal, intimate, life-changing way this Christmas season? If you're like our Mother Mary, visiting others to share Jesus and to share the Holy Spirit, then perhaps you're ready for Christ this Christmas. If for whatever reason you're not ready yet, there's still 8 days left. You can finish strong. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. You can finish strong by making a good confession. As Father Rocky has said so many times, there's no better way to prepare your soul for the coming of Jesus the Lord than to go to confession. And we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now here in Advent, in anticipation of the coming of the baby Jesus, unfortunately, our country is divided. There's no doubt about that. We're divided in our politics, Democrats and Republicans. We're divided on the issue of vaccine mandates, on abortion, crime in the police, educating our children, transgender and gay marriage issues, and much more. In 1858, President Abraham Lincoln said these famous words, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." There's a great deal of concern about the left-right divide in our nation today. For us Catholic Christians, what is the answer to this divisiveness? Now joining us with much more perspective on this question of division is former Congressman Dan Lipinski. Dan is a pro-life Democrat who spent 16 years in Congress serving in the U.S. House of Representatives, representing the Illinois 3rd District. He has a Ph.D. in political science and currently serves on the Advisory Council of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation and runs Lipinski Solutions, a consulting company. Good morning, Congressman Lipinski. Welcome back to Morning Air. Happy Advent. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John, and happy Advent to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Congressman, you recently gave a very powerful talk, an address at the fall conference of the University of Notre Dame's the Nicola Center for Ethics and Culture. And the title of your talk was "The Catholic Answer Our Divided Nation Needs." In your address there at Notre Dame, you urged the faithful to be Catholics first in the public square, putting their faith above excessive loyalty to party. Can you share some of the basics of that message that you shared on the campus of Notre Dame?
Well, we all know that we live in a divided nation, as you described in your lead-in. But you know, partisanship today is something that I refer to as sectarian partisanship. It is not just, you know, I choose a party because I agree with more issues that party stands for than the other party. It's become an identity, a social identity. And there's actually some political scientists who have a research paper that says that it can determine someone's self-identified religion, class, or sexual orientation. All those things can be determined by which party someone chooses to say that they're a part of. And the two parties are held together more by hatred of the other side than of any kind of, any other love of their own. It's really, we are in a terrible situation here in this country right now. It's tearing us apart. Obviously, as you and your listeners know, we know that the problem on the sectarian left is worse, in that the sectarian left has really, you see echoes in some ways of the French Revolution. Roger Scruton, the late English philosopher in 1989, wrote an essay about the French Revolution. It was also about communism. He talked about revolutionaries whose main purpose is to deny God and to try to kill off religion. And we see echoes of that certainly on the left right now in this country. But the sectarian right, it's also a major problems there also. And it doesn't mean that, and it's such a temptation, I know. It's very easy to think, well, there's a war against religion from the left. We need to join the sectarian right. But the problem is, if we are going to have a democratic republic in this country, we need to not be, we need politics. Politics, Roger Scruton talked about how important politics is, where we come up with solutions, accommodations, at least, compromises. And therefore, if we just have a war of left against right, right against left, it's going to destroy our country. So that's where I say we need to be Catholic first, not just tear down, but we need to build up. And as we know, as Catholic Christians, that's what God has called us to do. That's what Jesus' example was in his teachings to us and what the Catholic Church teaches us that we must do is to build, to draw people in to Jesus Christ, and for our nation in our government and politics, it's to work with others for the common good.
Congressman, we long, and I'm sure many would agree with this perspective, for the good old days, when a Tip O'Neill would have a drink with, a member from the other side, when President Reagan would talk about civility, and when the two parties used to be able to work together to come up with solutions and real compromise. It seems like those days are in the rearview mirror.
Well, I always believed that politics is a game of addition to begin with, and as a Catholic, we need to recognize the dignity of every individual, even those who we strongly disagree with, even on the most critical of issues. We still have to recognize the dignity of every single person. And certainly you don't see that in politics today. It's part of the whole social media, I think, way of speaking and dealing with others, which is really very much out of what we are called. It is not what we are called to be. It's not what we are called to do. And again, I understand. I went through the battles for 16 years as a pro-life Democrat, a pro-religious freedom Democrat, a pro-marriage Democrat, and I heard it from people in my party until finally they were able to defeat me in the primary election in 2020. But I stood up for what was true. That's what we need to do, but we don't do it in a way that we just tear everything and everybody down.
Congressman Lipinski, as a longtime former congressman, what does your Catholic faith mean to you personally? Can you talk about the strength that you got from your faith to be able to stand up against all adversity and stand up for the unborn during all those years?
Well, I know what matters most, and my faith, my love of Jesus Christ, I always want to make sure that I say that I know I'm not perfect. I was not perfect in my 16 years. I was not a perfect Catholic in my 16 years as a member of Congress. As none of us are perfect in anything that we do, but I always try to put my faith first. And that was more important than being reelected. I said that from the beginning. I said from the beginning when people said, you can't continue to be a pro-life Democrat because you're gonna lose. The party's gonna eventually you're gonna get pushed out. And I said, well, I'm not gonna give up being pro-life. If it means I have to give up my seat in Congress, I'm willing to do that because I know what is most important, and I know that in the end I will be called to judgment on how I stood up for the least among us.
We're joined this morning by former Congressman Dan Lipinski, a pro-life Democrat. We're talking about the Catholic answer our divided nation needs. Congressman, I mentioned at the top a litany of different issues that are dividing our country, from vaccine mandates to the issue of life. There's so many different issues. What do you see as a possible way to bring both sides of the aisle together and to find some common ground?
Well, the first thing is both sides have to start treating each other with dignity, and that's where it all has to start. And it's important that we don't use our partisan political identity. And you know, look, we are going to in this country, in most elections, you have to choose either a Democrat. Vote for a Democrat or Republican, and I'm not saying that you cannot choose one or the other. I understand that. I chose to be a Democrat when I was in politics, when I was in Congress, but I did not allow that to then determine what I believed about what is right and what the best public policy is. We have to have a humility in all of this. We have to have humility to accept that we don't know anything, that we don't, each of us does not have all of the answers, to stand up firmly, strongly for what we know is true and believe. But there are many issues where we can come to compromise on, and everything's become such a zero-sum game. If you lose, then I win, and that's the only way there is about it. In a nation cannot survive that way. It is not possible. So certainly, never going to give up, and I never gave up being pro-life. But what can we? Let's start talking about even on this issue. What can we do to try to reduce the number of abortions? And hopefully the Supreme Court is going to rule in the Dobbs case, hopefully in June, Roe v. Wade, and will be overturned. And that will be an issue that will be returned to the voters, to the American people. And then those of us who are pro-life are going to have an even more difficult situation, because we're going to have to be battling every day on the federal and the state level to protect the unborn. But we have to remember to do this with love, because we need to change hearts and minds on this issue. But there are so many other issues where we can come to agreement on in compromise, and we're just not doing it because both sides are refusing to even talk to the other side in a dignified manner.
I felt inspired by the words of President Abraham Lincoln back in 1858 when he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." How can we try to keep that in mind, to pray for unity, to bring people together in our great country?
Well, again, I go back to humility, and I think of Abraham Lincoln. I think it was the I could be wrong. I'm not sure if it was the second inauguration. I think it was where, you know, he talked about being humility and our ability to, you know, see the right as you know. I don't remember the words, unfortunately, but essentially he said that we need to be humble and fight for what we believe is right, but to be humble about it. And I think that's so important for us to do. And we are not going to, as Christians, we are not going to beat others into belief. And we try to do that on, you know, we see those battles on social media, and it is through love that the Christian faith has really been spread. That's the way it was from at the beginning. May not have been that way through all of history, but that is the way that we are going to spread our Catholic faith, and is going to spread the love of Jesus Christ. It's going to be not by beating people over the head in winning battles, but it's going to be through our witness that we do it.
Well, we continue to pray for our nation. We pray for our president. We pray for Nancy Pelosi. She just received thousands of roses the other day on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. A lot of people praying for our country. At the end of the day, I love your message, Congressman. We must be Catholics first in the public square. So thank you so much for being with us. Many blessings the rest of the way here in Advent, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, and please keep me in your prayers. I will do the same for you.
Absolutely. We so much appreciate you being with us. You can always read much more about Congressman Lipinski at danlipinski.com or on Twitter, danlipinski2. Congressman Dan Lipinski has been with us. What a joy. We're going to take a break when Morning Air continues. Pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader will join us to discuss finding meaning in the season that we're in. Stay with us. There's much more as Morning Air continues after this timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air. What a beautiful hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, really setting the stage for these final days as we prepare for Christmas. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in. Christmas, can you believe it? In fact, Christmas Eve is only a week away. It's incredible how Advent has been just flying by. And in fact, winter is almost here. That's only 4 days away. I'm talking about meteorological winter. But depending on what part of the country that you live in, some places have been experiencing some extreme cold weather temperatures already, although we did have some unusually warm weather in the Midwest the last couple of days. Biking in those extreme weather conditions may not be quite as nice as biking in beautiful, perfect weather. Our next guest has found joy in in those coldest rides. Dr. Jim Schrader is here today to continue with our series based on his book, Confessions of a Carless Commuter, What 40,000 Plus Motorless Miles Taught Me About Life. In this series, we've been discussing topics about the pursuit of health, harmony, happiness, and heaven through stories shared and lessons learned. Dr. Jim Schrader is a pediatric psychologist, and today we're going to talk about A Ride for All Seasons. And the key question this morning is, am I striving to find meaning and happiness in the season that I'm in? Dr. Schrader is also a married father of 8 children, an endurance athlete. He's vice president in the Department of Psychology and Wellness at Easter Seals Rehabilitation Center in Evansville, Indiana. Good morning, Dr. Schrader. Thanks so much for being with us. Happy Advent. It's always good to be with you.
Yeah, great to be with you, too, and happy Advent your way.
Dr. Schrader, talk to us about some of those bike rides that you've been on over the years, how you've managed to bike even in extreme weather conditions.
Yeah, you know, it's been kind of a gradual process. I used to think that pretty much my biking comfort was anywhere from about 60 to 90. And then gradually over the years through just kind of, I guess, advances in what I could, you know, do as far as clothing and understanding that, kind of a more and more tolerance, different temperatures. Over time, I've actually, the degree of temperature difference that I've biked in goes from -1 Fahrenheit to 108 Fahrenheit, so 109 degrees there. And I know many of you listening may think, Mike, that sounds crazy. Like, why would you do that? It just sounds miserable. But one of the things, and we'll talk about today, not just the seasons of our year, but the seasons of our life, is I've come to really, really appreciate the different experiences I've had, even in those coldest rides, even in what felt like an oven when I went out that 108-degree ride on the way home. And I just kind of experienced, when you feel, I would say this in some ways, that when you feel there's a sense of deprivation or a sense of hardship, the more that you feel that, the more it really forces you to rely on God's presence and even God's natural world to kind of harness the wonders there. And so, you know, I've had such different rides that, you know, I ride throughout all the seasons, you know, in the rain. The only thing I don't ride in the snow, just my bike's not set up for that, for the ice and snow. But there's really been a lot of blessings that come with placing yourself in the natural world that God created and just kind of experiencing that in a very raw, real way.
It reminds me of some of the great saints throughout history that our church has had. St. Francis of Assisi, who had a love of nature, and Brother Moon, he used to talk about, and the animals. And also, more recently, St. John Paul II also spoke about his love of hiking and finding God in nature, in the mountains. I mean, obviously, he had a great devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, but he could find the presence of God out in nature as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I think there's two elements. One is that you're opening yourself up to this amazing reality of the natural world. You know, God created such incredible diversity. You know, I mean, the number of species of animals is astounding. You know, the number of different types of trees and the flora and fauna in general is phenomenal. So we're opening ourselves up to this incredible, it's really an open palette, right? It's really an artwork if you allow it to be. But there's a second piece that I think that is so important here is that when you're out there in the cold, I remember so many times over the years running and I would see deer or I'd see different animals or, you know, you're out there. You no longer have any of the pretenses of who you are. You know, you might have this sense a bit about being a father. You might have your sense about being, you know, this person at work or whoever. You've got all sorts of statuses and expectations. When you put yourself out in the natural world, I used to joke that the deer don't care who I am. The squirrels don't care who I am. The trees don't care who I am. And what you do is you feel the shells, you feel the layers of pretenses kind of fall away from you. And then there was a priest years ago who hiked the Appalachian Trail from this area, and he said, you know, when you strip yourself down to nothing, nothing but who you are, which is the child of God first, you really start to feel this incredible grace, this incredible sense of connectedness to our Creator. You have to get away from yourself and the roles and the layers of who you are in order to feel that. And that's what this opportunity has been over the years for me.
It seems to me that it takes a little humility to put yourself in those circumstances of extreme temperatures while you're out there riding, whether it's bone-chilling Arctic tundra weather or whether it's 109 degrees.
I would agree. I would tell you, this week I stepped out. It had been a kind of a rainy morning or whatever, and I stepped out for my normal ride. And I thought to myself, you know what, I could drive this morning, right? You know, I've got a degree, I've got a doctorate degree, I've got, you know, like lots of reasons I can just not do this. Why do I need to do this, right? Yeah, and you hit it perfectly on the nail. It's that we have to humble ourselves to come to understand the graces that God gives us. We have to step away from who we think we are or who we've been elevated to be or who we've been lowered to be, whatever it is. And we have to humble ourselves and say, you know what? I'm the same person. I'm the same little kid that was brought into this world. I am a child of God, and I have to trust that God will give me a lot of what I don't even understand if I humble myself in this way. And that's the great thing about all of our seasons is no matter what's going on in your life, you can humble yourself anytime you want if you step outside and immerse yourself. And years ago, I was in the middle of North Cascades National Park doing a long hike with my brothers and a couple of friends, and I hiked out ahead that day and decided that I was going to just go forward for the rest of the 15 miles and hit our camp alone. And I was all alone for the first time in my life, completely alone for about 7 hours. And what people might think was the most isolated experience of my life was actually one of the most connected experiences I've ever had, because I simply felt myself as this little being in this remarkable world united with God. And that's the best way I could say it.
It sounds incredible. I think it's important to have spiritual eyes. You know, you talked about relying on God's presence. If we have spiritual eyes, we see God practically everywhere. It reminds me, I was telling my wife the other day, you know, we have a beagle, this beautiful beagle named Blaze, like blazing fast, not like Cardinal Blaze, but run. He was really super fast when he was a puppy. And so he's named Blaze. And at times he acts like he's almost human, you know, his expressions. And I always say to my wife, look at him. He's just a gift of God. This dog is pure love. And you can see God's presence working even through a little pet, a family pet, the family beagle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And having spiritual eyes, you know, I think in some ways, it's really, really important when the season you're in is difficult, right? And that's something that we certainly talk about this morning. I think of my dad a lot this week. He had a heart triple bypass surgery earlier this week, and it's been a difficult season for him for the last year or two. You know, his once strong body has kind of failed in different ways, and even when he feels good, that their test results have come back, you know, in a negative way. And yeah, I think that's really hard. I literally feel with him when I'm over there visiting him that it's just a season he doesn't want to be in right now, and I wouldn't want to be in. And yet, in every season, there are things that we can embrace. I mean, one thing that he can embrace right now is that he's alive and he has this chance to go forward on this adventure of life. But he also has these people who so many people come to him and are in support and love him. And sometimes it takes a difficult season for us to really see the love that exists around. But we're always required to come back to the sense that every season has its meaning.
We're talking about striving to find meaning and happiness in the season that I'm in. Every one of us is in a different season of our lives. Are we striving to find meaning? We're talking to our good friend, pediatric psychologist, Dr. Jim Schrader, about this. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, if perhaps you find yourself in a challenging season in your life and you'd like to share that with us, or you have a loved one that is in that reality, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break, but we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Jim Schrader right after this on the other side.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keeping. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let love in hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
And this is what it's all about. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As we continue to prepare our hearts for the coming of the baby Jesus, Christmas Eve just a week away. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in, being with us this morning as we continue our conversation with pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader, our good friend, talking about the very question here this morning. Am I striving to find meaning and happiness in the season of life that I'm in? And I'd like to invite our listeners, if you have any thoughts on the season that you're in, are you trying to find meaning at this time? Do you have close relatives that perhaps are going through a challenging season of their life? Please give us a call. We have open lines, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Dr. Schrader, welcome back.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, You have been thinking about this question for some time and reflecting, and you wrote it in your book, but you also have prayed about it. I understand that you have a beautiful prayer that you'd like to share with our audience. I wanted to make sure we get it in before we run out of time this morning.
Sure. So here's the prayer, and it came to me, you know, around the anxiety sometimes that you feel about any season and just the sense that we have trouble embracing. So let's pray together this morning. Dear God, I thank you for every gift you provide, from the smallest nerve cells in my toes to the tiniest of neurons that powers each thought and feeling that I have. Thank you for the people in my life, the natural world, and ultimately the mysterious gift of you. Help free me from my unnecessary worries by first embracing all the gifts imparted before seeking to protect them and acquire even more. When I fear loss of health, let me first embrace any and every aspect of well-being that I've been granted. When I fear loss of status, let me first embrace the respect I have been given. When I fear loss of affiliation, let me first embrace the love I've been bestowed. When I fear death, let me first embrace the life I've been endowed. In all of my fears, let me first see gifts given rather than losses which may come. I know I will die someday. But in the meantime, help me cast away my anxieties and find great beauty, purpose, and peace in this adventure of life. Amen.
Amen. This is a beautiful prayer. It's very deep. What would you like our audience to take away from this prayer?
Well, I'll tell you what, whatever season you find yourself in and whatever place you find yourself in, it's easy to worry first about all the things that may go wrong. I was having a conversation with my friend recently about this, and he said, you know, even when life has been really, really good, even when the seasons have been really pleasant, I find myself perseverating on a few things that are just, you know, worrisome, that are going wrong. And I actually think that's very much human nature to do this. You know, part of it's kind of a preservative, protective instinct that, you know, we're designed to make sure that we look out for the potential threats. And that's not all bad. You know, I mean, we have to kind of be aware of that. But the problem is that so often that's where our mind is, like that's where it gravitates towards. And I think as we head into Christmas here, you know, head into this wonderful season, what I would ask all of us to consider is instead of kind of perseverating on the things that might go wrong or the things that are going wrong, look outward, look inward, and ask yourself, what are the things that are going right? You know, I made a dad again, kind of back to what I said earlier, lying in bed. Lots of things feel like they're going wrong for him, but actually a lot of things are really going right for him right now too. And I know that's really hard to see, but I take inspiration from someone like, let's say, you know, Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in prison, and he had all the time in the world to see about what was going wrong. But when he walked out of prison, he said, you know, the time has come to forgive. He had come through that season in a different way.
That's a wonderful inspiration there, Dr. Schrader. AJ is joining us from Fontana, California. Good morning, AJ. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I just wanted to say that my wife is going through a season of her own right now. She was diagnosed with breast cancer back in April. And, you know, women usually do their regular checkup for mammograms when they get to a certain age. And it was just shocking for her and the whole family when we found out she's had four family members pass away from cancer in the last 6 or 7 years. So she was in a tour of the Holy Spirit. She's had four surgeries, and she's still in recovery from her fourth surgery right now. She has a doctor's appointment this morning, and we're hoping to get great news. But just a whole lot of people have been praying for her, and I've been praying for her every day. And I know she prays, and we pray together, and her parents who are visiting for the holidays pray the rosary with us every day. And it's just been quite an ordeal for her, and she's just gone through so much. Nobody really knows what a person's going through when they're diagnosed with cancer or any type of cancer. It's just a very, very trying time for my wife, but anybody who has cancer knows what I'm talking about. But by the power of prayer, she's been told that chemotherapy or radiation treatment is not going to be needed at this time. She's taking her hormone pills every day, and we're just hoping and praying that the good Lord gives her future health, and we get to live a good life together for many years. But the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit has really given us a new life, and it's just opened up a lot of doors, and our souls are just so happy that she's been able to get through this all. It's just been very painful for her.
AJ, real quickly, what is her name? And we're absolutely going to keep her in our prayers.
Her name is Eva.
Eva. Your reaction, Dr. Schrader, we need to pray for Eva.
Yeah, in our prayer for Eva, it's that through all these trials and just tribulations that she continues to see the blessings that surround her, you know, the people who love her, the opportunity of life each day that she lives. And, you know, we pray for Eva just that she continues to see all of the wonderful things, even in the midst of difficult times.
Thanks so much, AJ. Blessings the rest of the way here in Advent. Merry Christmas to you. Dr. Schrader, we've got about a minute or so to go. When you think back and you look at all the things that you've learned over the decade of being a carless commuter, what's the one thing that sticks out?
Yep. I think, you know, the last thought I have for today is that, you know, people often say that life is a marathon. And actually, I think that it's not actually quite a marathon. It's actually an ultra marathon. There's so many different things that are going to happen in life, in this ultra marathon of life. And I kind of take what a friend of mine said years ago, and I think I would apply it to this idea for today. He said, you know, when you're in the middle of an ultra marathon, and you just, there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of things that you're kind of like wondering if it's going to go really wrong really quick. He said, instead of focusing on the pain that you feel, focus on the strength and the warmth that you feel. Like, be aware of the pain. Don't be naive to it. But focus on the strength. Focus on the areas of your body and your mind that are working well. And I think that's what we're taking forward today in this season of winter, the season of Christmas, the season of life, is let's focus more on what's so strong and so good in our lives today.
Amen. Merry Christmas, Dr. Schrader. As always, it's a joy to be with you.
Yeah, same to you too.
Now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Oh, the wise words of Linus from Luke as well this morning for our Story Corner. And John, a reminder that a Charlie Brown Christmas, the Peanuts TV Christmas special, will be aired once again this year on TV. It'll be on PBS, 6:30 Central Time, Sunday night.
I absolutely love it, Glenn. That's what it's all about, Christ the Lord. Let's continue to also pray for the tornado victims in Kentucky and all the other states affected. Join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This is my last live show of 2021. I'm taking some vacation time to spend time with my family, to be able to see my mom in the nursing home during this Christmas and New Year's time. Glenn will be hosting and doing a fantastic job next week. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverenz, for producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a blessed, Merry Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season.